Addressing Bava Metzia Perek Ches Mishnah Beis. And this Mishnah is so involved, there's all these things I want to give as introductions. So the first thing I want to speak out is about the din of Mamon HaMutal B'Safek, money that's sitting around that we don't know to whom it belongs. So this is going to be, we'll start out with a simple case of what's called Shema V'Shema. That means I don't know if it's mine. Both parties say I don't know if it's mine. Shema means I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So the classic case of this we saw back in Bava Kama, that was when my bull gored your cow, and that's not a topic of discussion. The topic of discussion is what's with the dead calf sitting at the cow's side. You didn't see it, and I didn't see it, so we're just not sure. Do I owe you for the dead calf because my bull killed your calf also? Or do we say, or maybe not, maybe your cow gave a stillborn calf, and that cow is just dead, and when my cow happened to be on the scene, it's just circumstantial evidence, it did nothing. But we just don't know, and we're never going to know. No one's going to know. It's a black box. So, the din back in Bava Kama, who was Sumchas speaking, the Tana Sumchas, said, Maman Hamutal B'Safek, if you have money that's sitting around with a big question mark, Shema V'Shema, I don't know, you don't know, no one knows. So the fairest thing to do, says Sumchas, is to Yachloko, they should divide it. Divide the money 50-50, we'll split the cost of the calf, that's the fairest thing we could do. That's how the Mishnah reads over there, and that ultimately will be how our Mishnah reads over here, that we have a case of Shema V'Shema, I don't know, and you don't know who owes who money, then we'll just split it. That's clean with the Mishnah in Bava Kama, that's clean with the Mishnah here in Bava Metzia. The only small problem is, L'Halacha, it's not the Din. L'Halacha, the Din is like the Chachamim. Exactly. The Chachamim say, listen, we're not going to get involved in... There's a few ways that the Rishonim explain the Lamas here, but I want to explain to you one, which is very straightforward, which is, we're not going to get involved with the Din Torah. If we don't know who it belongs to, then we're just not getting involved. And the money will stay wherever it is. And it's by the Muchzuk, literally by the one who's holding it now. But that's the point is, it stays like inertia, spiritual inertia. It stays in whoever's pocket it is. It stays status quo. So right now, the money is sitting in the pocket of the alleged Mazik, the owner of the bull, so he'll just keep his money. He's not paying anything for the calf until the victim, the owner of the cow, and the dead calf, brings some proof that the bull killed the calf. Until then, Motzi Mechavero, a Lavaraya, the one who's trying to take money from his friend, meaning the owner of the dead calf, who's being Motzi, trying to take money out of the pocket of his Chavero, his friend, the alleged owner of the owner of the bull, who's the alleged Mazik. So a love haray, the burden is upon him, the onus to prove his case is on the alleged victim, meaning the owner of the calf. Okay, that's step one. So that was called Maman Mutal B'Safek, money sitting in a question mark and a doubt, and the way I explained it out so far is Shema V'Shema. I don't know and you don't know, so the Mishnah in Bava Kama, the Mishnah here in Bava Metzia, says like Sumchas, the din is Cholkin, Yachloko, split it 50-50, however the din la'allahu b'chachachamim, hamotu mechaveru love haray. Step one. Now, as it happens, there is a question on if Sumchus agrees this din of Maran Mutal B'Safek Cholkin, money sitting in doubt, you divide it, only in a case of Shema V'Shema, or even in a case of Bari V'Bari, meaning, we just spoke out where I say I don't know, and you say you don't know. That's Shema V'Shema. Maybe yes, maybe no. Both of us have no idea. What if I come claiming I know for a fact that it was your... that my bull did not gore your calf. And you say, I know for a fact it did. So now, we're again at a loggerhead. As far as the basin is concerned, it's still Mamon Mutal B'Safek. We don't know what to do with this money. To whom gets the money? So, there it's a machlokus, a moraim, what Sumchas would hold. If Sumchas there would also agree, Cholkin, split it 50-50, because that's the fairest thing. Or he'll say, that's not fair at all. Once you've got a certain liar, certainly you have someone lying in the mix here, so why should we why should Basin get its hands dirty with a bunch of liars to perhaps be complicit in stealing half the money from this innocent person? So therefore, it's a machlokas amaraim, how Sumchus would rule in such a case.
Do you assume both the liars, or maybe one saw the truth, the other just made a mistake, he really believes this is what happened, but
we don't know. We're not making judgment calls. I'm putting. I'm saying that the basin doesn't want to get involved because why? I'm on the tzad to say the basin won't get involved by Sumchas. That's Rav Ashita. Is like what? This isn't Imam and Mutab Safa case, this is like two people fighting. So we're not, it's not the same, it's not, it's chalk and cheese. You can't compare a case where like, we're just both coming to the table saying we don't know what to do, and the basin says, you know, like Solomon saw the split at 50-50. Two people are there, they're having a proper fight over here now, and we don't, there's no evidence. It's pure hearsay. No one's even, we're, you know, but so the basin's just gonna, so it's a question, will the basin look at it the same way as the fair thing to do is, you know, cut the baby in half? Or is the, or do we say, whoa, like, basin's going to say, well, we're not, just because, you know, lots of times people fight over things, and we're not, the basin's not going to make a happy compromise and start taking the money out of people's pockets just because they're, you know, because someone's saying, you owe me, and the other guy says, I don't owe you, so why should we take it out of his pocket? So that's some several machlokas here. If we say, if some of us would agree to a case of bari v'bari, we both are certain in our claims, we claim we're certain, if we would still extract the money, Yechloku split it 50-50. Rava says no, it's only Sheva Veshema. And Rabba Bar Bar Huna says no, that he says it's equally. Simchas agrees to Yechloku even by Bari Bavari. Okay, now a new kind of category. A category of problem is now called the Shema the Bari Veshema. That means one person is saying, I know you owe me, and the other person is saying, I'm just not sure. So the simple case will be, this we also saw in Bava Kamma, when the Mishnah said, Zeh klal gadol bedin, in the sixth paragraph, referring to Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. So there the Gemara learns, what's Zeh klal gadol, what's that coming to add? The klal is to tell you that even if it's Bari Veshema, even if the Nitva, the person who's, you know, the defendant, is saying, I just don't know. And the claimant is saying, well, I do know, and you owe me money. Even then, Hamotz Mechaver Alav Araya. We saw this back in Bava Kamma there. Really, this resurfaced in the 10th parak of Bava Kamma more explicitly. And there we said, I'll just speak it out because it's worth keeping in mind, the case we're talking about here is where I say, for example, I loaned you $100, and you say, really? I just can't remember. Are you sure? I'm not so sure. Like, I'm not agreeing, I'm not denying it, I just don't know. In that case, that's the Bari Veshema. The Bari person saying, I know I loaned you $100, and the Shema saying, I'm just not sure if that loan ever happened. So in such a case, we say, even then, Hamotzim Mechaver Alav Araya, just because you're certain, we don't say your certainty is enough to force me to hand over the money, still Hamotzim Mechaver Alav Araya. Back there in the 10th parak Bava Kamma, we spoke out that it's the case I described it. If the case, however, is, this is not relevant to our mission, but I just want to make sure it's clear for the sake of, since we've seen the mission before, seen this din before. If I'm saying, I loaned you $100, and you say, yes, I agree you loaned me, and I say, but you never paid me back, and you say, I just can't remember if I paid you back, in that case, we said, everyone agrees the person has to pay again. Or has to pay, allegedly, again. It doesn't cut it. So once you're agreeing the loan was made, and you're just, you can't remember if you paid it, and I'm telling you, well, I remember you didn't pay it. No, that's not Motor Mixus. That's no. Right. Motor Mixus, we'll get there in a second. It's not this. Motor Mixus says it was only 10, not 100. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. We'll get there in just a second.
Does this have a specific phrase? This concept?
Bari Veshema.
Okay.
Bari Veshema. I'm certain, and you're not. But we had two. Bari means I'm certain, my claim is definite, and Shema means I'm not indefinite. And indefinite Shema claims can come in really two flavors. They can either come and just, I don't know the facts, or I don't remember the, I'm not certain about the facts, or I'm in ignorance. That's the difference. In other words, I'm lumping them together because they are lumped together, but just they're two conceptually different things. One is, we see the dead calf on the side of the road. I don't know and you don't know. That's different than saying, I can't remember if I paid you back. That's a different world. But in any case, both are called Shema. They're indefinite claims. Okay?
So if he borrowed from somebody that he didn't remember who he paid back, he said, yes, I borrowed $100, but I don't know, it's from you or somebody else. That's the same thing, he has to pay him back.
Yeah, that was in the 10th parak of Bava Kamma, and the din was lahalacha, if you remember, it's machlokas, but the din was lahalacha, if both people are claiming from you, you owe us $100, both of us saying, you know there's only one, but you can't remember which one, so there we had that discussion, you put it in the middle and let them fight amongst the two of them, we have to pay us both back, okay? And it comes out lahalacha that you could just give it to Basin and tell Basin, listen, let them fight it out, because if someone's certainly lying, but latzis b'day shemayim, you'll need to pay both of us back because someone you owe $100 to. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not our topic for now. Okay, so But now I'm talking about Bari B'Shema, and we're saying that the din is that when you have a Bari and Shema, just because you're certain doesn't give you the power to extract money from my pocket, still the Klal Gadol is Hamotzim Mechaver Alav Araya. Fine. Now on that, the Gemara has a separate discussion. It's true what we said, but we're assuming a case where the Bari is not the world's strongest Bari, and the Shema is not the world's
weakest.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, not the world's weakest. Yeah, not the world's weakest.
Shema.
Weakest Shema. So what that means is the case is everyone agrees that if my Bari is a claim that you were not present at the time, and therefore you have no chance of disputing my claim. And there's on the one hand that's called a Bari Garua. It's called like a less than ideal Bari because I'm making a claim which I'm saying I'm certain, and there's no way in the world. I'll give you an example. We know you were in Timbuktu at the time. So yesterday we were talking about, you know, dog jumping the fence and killing my chicken. So like we both agree that you weren't around. So of course you're going to say I don't know. But I know you're going to say I don't know because we all know you can't deny it. You can say I don't know, but there's no chance in the world you could deny it because how you can possibly deny it? You weren't present. So that's considered a Bari Garua. It's a weak Bari. Yes. It's not a really pathetic Shema because there's a good reason why I don't know. The reason I don't know is because I wasn't around. I was in Timbuktu when your dog jumped the fence. How am I supposed to have any opinion on the subject? So that where we agree on Motzim Mechavera Lavaraya, then just me claiming it, I'm certain you're saying, well, I just don't know, isn't enough to force enable me to force the basin to extract the money from you. But there's a seven machlokas in the Gemara, which is very nogi to our Mishnah. What happens if the Bari is what's called the Bari Tov, and the Shema is the Shema Garua? In other words, my claim of Bari is one that we both know you could bring evidence to show I'm lying. It's a claim that you could show I'm wrong. You could bring evidence, you could bring witnesses, you could bring people to see. So, you know, you're around. There's no reason why you can't be able to show that I was lying. I'm open for attack. And your Shema claim isn't I was out of town, so how could I know? It's something really lame, like I just can't remember. Like, you know, I wasn't looking the whole time. It's like turning a blind eye. So that's in such a case where my Bari claim, I'm telling you I'm certain, and I'm telling the base, and if I'm lying, he should be able to prove that I'm lying, because I'm open to inquiry. And his claim of Shema isn't, well, how could I know I was out of town? It's his claim is, well, I don't know because, like, you know, I was just not looking for a long time, or something idiotic like that. So why weren't you looking? You have to be responsible. It's just like it's a dodge. So that is a machlokas. If the Bari is a strong Bari, because open to hakasha, to contradiction, and the Shema is a weak Shema, which is, you know, why don't you know? Why don't you should know? This is, you know, you should. There's no reason to think you shouldn't know the information here. So then, it's a machlokas. If we say, still hamotzim mechaver alav araya, or there, if we say what's called bari v'shema, bari adif. If I'm saying certain, you're saying not certain. If in such a case, my certainty is a certainty that's open to your hakrasha, you can shoot me down if you try, and your shema is a pathetic one. If we say in that case, no. A certain claim is enough to allow me to extract money from you. That's a machlokas, and that will come into play big time here. So according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in the Gemara, we say if the Bari is a strong Bari and the Shema is a weak Shema, then we say Bari v'Shema, Bari Adif. The certain claim is enough, got enough force to force you to pay me and Beis Din. And Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman say, no, it's still hamotzim mechaver alav araya. And by the way, that's a din. The reason why you never heard of this chiluk before, probably, unless you learn the sugya here, is because the din is across the board hamotzim mechaver alav araya. You have to, with no such, we don't differentiate between how strong the claim is. In practice, is always, if you want to extract money, bring a proof. But for our Mishnah, it's very nogea. That's why I'm speaking that out here. Okay, for our Mishnah, there's two ways to learn the Mishnah based on that machlokas. Because our Mishnah will be a case, this very case, where the question will be, yeah, why don't you know? You're claiming you don't know. Well, you ought to know. You know, you're a responsible party. And therefore, there'll be two ways to learn the Mishnah. Okay, I'll get back to that in a second. Good. Now I'm telling a new din that you have to know for the Mishnah, which is called Modu B'Miktsas. Modu B'Miktsas, which you brought up a second ago, is where I tell you owe me 100, and you say, I admit I owe you money, but it's not 100, it's only 50. Only 50. So in that case, it's learned out from a Pasuk, the Torah already requires a Shvuah. you have to, the person who's denying the other portion has to swear that it's not true. In other words, if you say you owe me 100 and I say I only owe you 60, I'll have to pay you 60, of course, I admit it. But the remaining 40, I'll have to swear in basin that a shua, a doraisa, shua, with oath holding an object, you know, a sefer Torah, a tefillin or something, and say the other 40, you're not true. I don't owe you that 40, I never owed you that 40, whatever, paid you back, whatever the story is, my claims. Okay, that's called modru mitzas. And that's you admit partially, you're forced to swear in the other half. And we asked why. So I told you some explain the time of the cross, some explain the like a rationale of the pasuk is that, as we'll see in a moment, we'll talk about kofra kol. We'll talk about a full denial. And there the rabbi said people aren't like maze punim. They don't look at their creditor and say like, I deny everything. They just don't do that kind of thing. People are less inclined to do that. So the assumption here is that a person who's admitting to part is, it's like a step up from that. In other words, a person hasn't got the brazenness, the audacity, the gall, to look at the chutzpah, to look at a guy who lent him $100 or whatever and say like, I don't know you, or whatever, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. So what he does, so why is he doing that? And people wouldn't do that if they had the money. They're doing that because they don't have the money. So therefore they figure, listen, I only have 50, so I'll say, listen, yeah, I admit to 50. I think my, whatever rationale, I'm thinking, like, I can't pay him anyway, so why should I admit to it, or whatever the story is. You know, so I'm only admitting to part. So there the, now giving you a time of the crowd, like a rationale to the plus, like whatever it is, the Torah says, in such a case, that's like, you know, there's a chink in the armor, obviously, there's something fishy going on, potentially, and therefore, good, we won't make you pay, but you have to swear. You have to swear that the other portion is not owed. Fine. That's called the din of modu mixas, and that's a din doraisa. You admit in part, you have to swear on the part that you're denying. Okay, as opposed to denying the whole thing. If you deny the whole thing from a Torah perspective, then go fly a kite out. You can't force him to swear just because, says the Torah anyways, you can't force him to swear just because you say, I owe you money. I don't. Goodbye. Now, there's another din, which is called Mitoch Shelo Yachol Lishava Mishalem, which is a din like this. Rav Abba's Mechadish, and this is the din of Halacha. If I say, you owe me $100, and you say, listen, that's a better example. I say your dog jumped the fence twice and ate two of my chickens. And you say, or whatever, jumped the fence once and ate two of my chickens, for that matter. So, and I say, listen, I admit to one chicken, but I deny the other chicken. Right? So, what's my denial based on? I say, I just don't know. I went away. I saw the dog jump and kill the first chicken, and then I went off to work. When I came back, I found my dog back in my yard. Something like that, right? So the point is, I just don't know what happened to the second chicken, but I'm not admitting to it. I'm admitting my dog, I owe you one chicken, but I'm denying the second chicken. But when I deny it, it's not that I'm saying it's not true. I'm just saying, I don't know. An eini yodea. So remember I told you that the Shema comes in two varieties? So this now is, now I'm making this I don't know is the this Shema is ignorance. That's what's going on here, right? We're doing motive mix us. The part that I'm admitting. Another part I'm saying I'm not sure. You're saying Bari, you're saying no, and I'm saying, well, I just don't know. But my lack of knowledge is a claim of ignorance. So unlike where you say you loan me $100 and I say, oh no, it was only 50. Where I can say definitively 50 yes and 50 no. I could swear on the 50-0. Here the case is, I just saying, the second chicken, I don't know. That's not going to cut it. I can't take a shvua that I don't owe you because I don't know.
I have more money too.
What?
I'm sure if I owe
you. It could be. I just want to notice, I get a big two. Could be. No, I want to say yes. So the din is, here the case I'm speaking at here. You can have lots of illustrations. The point is, if I'm not able, this is the din, metoch, since, any holy shava, I can't swear that I don't owe you for the second chicken. How could I swear that? I have no idea. I was at work. I don't know what happened. So all I can say is, I don't know. That's not going to cut it. And since I can't take a shvua, I have to be mishalom. I have to pay. So once I'm motive mixas, I'm admitting for partial liability. And the part that I'm denying, I'm only denying because of just ignorance. Ignorance. Not denial. Ignorance. I can't take a shvua about ignorance. I mean, I could take a shvua that I'm ignorant, but that's not the point. I have to repudiate your claim because I'm motive mixas. And since I can't, I'm forced to pay the whole amount.
It sounds more like an abdication of responsibility. I see my dog run over the fence and go eat a chicken. I go off to work. And he said, well, you know, I don't know, I only saw him one chicken. And shouldn't you go after your dog and bring him back?
That's not the question.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I just gave an illustration of a point.
It seems like you're extra responsible. I mean, how do you defend that?
No, but I can think of, okay, but you're totally focusing on the wrong point. I just will give you the it could be that, you know, I don't know what, I'm talking like my father I know my father bought $100 from you, I'm not sure about the second one, and now he's dead. And now you're suing me for the liability. So I say, listen, I admit he owes you 100 because I know about that one. The second one, I just don't know. I mean, it's a new case, I'm just saying it's a different case. So Mamoto makes us, you're claiming I owe 200, I'm saying 100 I know, 100 other 100 I just have nothing to say on the matter. I just don't know. Since Mamoto makes us, so, and I can't, mitoch, since I cannot, eno yichol lishava, I cannot swear on the other half when I'm supposed to swear. It's not true, I don't know if it's not true, I have no idea. Then I have to pay.
So it was the same with money, somebody borrowed it. Somebody's claiming 100, he says, I remember borrowing 50, I don't remember it being 100. He doesn't remember.
That's...
In other words, he's not going to swear if he doesn't get
it. Yeah, that's right. No, you're right. No, you're right.
I'm not sure.
You're right. Correct.
So you borrowed 50 bucks from him for it.
Right? No, I'm Kofra Kol. I don't know the whole thing. So that's the thing of motive and mitzvahs. Motive and mitzvahs is if you omit the part of the debt, you have to swear on the part you're denying, part of the claim. You have to formally repudiate, you have to take an oath, a shvua, that it's not true on the part you're denying. And if you can't take such a shvua because you just are ignorant of the facts, however the scenario is, so then you will have to pay because you can't take a shvua. Okay, so that's Motor Mitzvahs and Matoch Sheinu Yachol Lishava Mishalim. Okay, now I'm going to go to the new din of Kofar Hakol.
There are scenarios where people will pay just not swear even if they're right.
Lots of scenarios, yeah. Since that's what people did. Since people tend to not like to swear. I guess it depends how much money it is and how sure you are. And
all the above. And the guy knows he's right. He goes, I don't swear.
The basic construct, we'll get to Shavuos sooner or later. The base of the structure of a shvua, you're basically saying, as much as I believe in Hashem, I believe that I don't owe you the money. So like that's a pretty heavy thing to say. Right? That's what you're saying. That is how the shvua is structured. You're saying, as much as I believe in Hashem, I believe I don't owe you the money. That's not the exact word, but that's the gist of the shvua. So like no one's going to start willy-nilly. It's tied to Hashem, that's the point. The shvua is tied to Hashem. Correct, they fell away, but I'm saying it's a big inhibitor of people to start denying Hashem. That's okay. So that's that. Now, okay. So now, Kofra Kol is you say I owe 100, and I say never happened. Don't know what you're talking about. Lie. So now I'm denying the whole thing. So there, that's the other side of the story. That the assumption is that the Torah doesn't require you to take a shvua, and the assumption why is is that a person doesn't have the brazenness to look at his creditor in the face and just lie to him and just deny it. That's the assumption. However,
also, maybe leave the Torah open to everyone taking advantage of everybody else. I know this guy is never going to swear. I'm walking to save you 50 bucks.
Well, I don't know if the Torah thinks like that. I don't know if the Torah thinks like that. That's a funny sentence for me to say. I just that doesn't. But it, you know, generally, the Torah doesn't. As far as my travels, the Torah have shown. No, the Torah doesn't think in those kind of terms. As far as I could tell,
didn't point me. Taking advantage of.
Yeah. The Torah doesn't seem to... what I mean by that is exactly. The Torah is saying these are the rules, and it's well aware. It's telling what Emes is. It's well aware that these rules are open for exploitation. Really, the Torah's system is assuming the honest society. It's funny, but that's the truth. The Torah's legal system is assuming people are honest, or generally honest. And that's why it's... For goodness sakes, the standards of proof are so darn high, you can never convict, really. I mean, not never, but so difficult. Two kosher witnesses is hard to come by. When's the last time you did anything in front of two kosher witnesses? Really, it's a very difficult thing to come by. So, and you need to have hasra, you have to be warned ahead of time. If you didn't warn, you have to be put on notice, and then within 2 seconds you have to do the crime. It's very hard. So the Torah doesn't think in those terms, I don't think. But in any case, the rabbi did think in those terms, because the rabbi's there to be misakin and deal with the world. And they said, you know what? It may be true that on the one hand, people don't look at their creditor in the eye and just tell them a bald-faced lie from the teeth. No, I deny everything you say, unless they're politicians. But That's amazing. How everyone always vehemently denies everything, and then they end up, you know, admitting or being found guilty later on. In any case, but the rabbi said the other thing is that where there's no, how do you say in English? Where there's smoke, there's fire. And is that the exact idiom? Where there's smoke, there's fire. It's chazak shein adam tovea ele imken yesh lo olav, which means the chazak is people don't start making, you know, fabricating claims that people owe them money if there's nothing to the claim. Like, it's a little weird. That's a really weird thing to do. It's even weirder. I guess in Chazal's mind, and that really rings true in my mind in this day and age. As true as it is, people don't have the audacity to just deny things. People do that sometimes. I've seen it myself. But the flip side, when's the last time you heard someone like just take a random person to based in and just start suing them for a made up thing, an utterly made up thing? That's really weird. That's really weird. What? So therefore, the rabbi said, Midor Rabbanan, if I claim money from you and you deny the whole thing, you're kofar es hakol. Even so, you're kofar hakol. The rabbis put a shvua on you called the shvuas heset, the rabbanan oath you have to take that you don't owe me the money. Because I can never make you pay if you deny it, but you're forced to swear that you don't owe it to me. That shvua is a lesser. It's a derabanan shvua. It's not with a. There's other kulas besides this, but you don't hold like a chayfetz in your hand. You don't hold like, you know, a sefer Torah in your hand or whatever. It's tefillin. It's a much lesser shvua, but you have to formally swear in base, and it's, I swear it's not true that I don't owe you any money. Okay, and that's a derabanan shvua, and it's put there called shvuas hesed. Hesed means to move something. Like we've seen tumas hesed maybe somewhere. Where do we see tumas hesed? Don't remember off the top of my head. I'm sure we've seen it somewhere so far through Shas. Hesed is moving things. So the point is, like, they are trying to move the etymology of the Rosh says they're trying to move the liar to admit. So the person is understanding. So if I'm claiming from you money and you're kofar hakol, you don't have the whole thing, good, I can't make you pay, but I can make you swear you don't owe me the money. Okay? And that's that. Li Yitzhak isn't here to say that isn't fair, but that's how it is. Okay. Now, that's the kofar kol. Oh, now that's true. Kofar, I can force you to deny it by taking a shvua if you're bari, it's not a problem. You say if you're certain you don't owe it, you're happy to swear. Yeah, you don't owe it. But what happens if you're a shema? You just say I don't know. I'm not admitting to anything, but I'm just not sure. Like, I can't say for certain. So, in other words, the case of... Whatever the case will be. So, in that case, of course, I'm claiming you owe me for sure. I'm telling you owe me. And you're saying, no, I don't. But, like, why should I have to pay you? I just don't know. I just don't know if I owe you, but I'm not admitting to anything. So, if the rabbis didn't extend the shvuah to that, then every person would always... Their plan of forcing the person, the alleged bad guy, to swear would fall apart, because he could just do like Ronald Reagan style. I just don't know. I don't remember. So what are you going to do? What kind of shvuah you can take out? So what? So remember Ronald Reagan? So that being the case, the rabbi said you still have to take a shvuah. You have to swear you don't know. That much you have to swear. Obviously you can't swear and deny it, because you can't deny it, but you have to take at least a shvuah that you don't know. So that everyone takes a shvuah of what they are saying. Fine. The last prefatory comment of the day is the old Gilgul Shvua, which also comes up here. Gilgul means to roll. And Gilgul Shvua means we roll on. This learned out, we discussed this on a little bit. Learned out from Sota. Remember by Sota, we had the woman, she was saying, exactly, the fact that she's saying, the Pasuk talks about her saying Amen twice, we said that she's not just swearing about this man, but about any man, not about now, but any time, and so on. So they rolled on a bunch of different, not just when she was married, but when she was engaged, etc. So the point is, even though the topic is only this man who she was warned against seclusion with, and this is the issue, and this is the time, even so, once she's swearing, then we just pile it all on. We say, and also swear to us, like, across the board, that you didn't do anything to make this marriage be forbidden, and so on. So that's learned, the rule of Gilgul Shvua is learned out from there, that once a person's taking a shvua anyways, on a derived level, so then we'll just pile it on. If there's other issues that need to be sworn about, I can force you to swear about those things too. Okay, so I can. So in other words, the point is.
Can be things unrelated to what the
shop. No, it's all about my. Yeah, it's all about my claim. All my connect. No. But to do with this claim, on my claim, yeah, I'm claiming several. There's several things that I'm claiming about here. So even if the rules, I couldn't in a vacuum force to swear about one of those things. But since another thing, you'll see in the mission exact example of this. But since I'm making you, I can force you to swear about A. Once you're swearing anyways, I can make you swear about B also.
That's related.
That's right. Okay, that's good. Superimpose those. Meaning legally superimposed, because the law doesn't impose it, but this thing is superimposed. Exactly. Okay, I like that. Good. So that's that. Now, all that said, keep all those things in your head at the same time, and we'll get to now the Mishnah. The Mishnah's case is, in its own right, convoluted. The case is where we're going into. I'm borrowing a cow from you. You own the cow. I'm the borrower for once. And just keep my story straight. And the deal we have is that there's three cases, the truth is. Case number one is part of the day which I'm borrowing your cow, I have the status of being a borrower, a shoel, and part of a day that I'm borrowing your cow, I have the status of being a socher, a renter. And if you recall, the difference between a shoel, a borrower, and a socher, a renter is onsen. If something happens, things that are unforeseeable, unavoidable losses, it doesn't matter. The shoel, the borrower, is still chayav to replace the cow. And if the cow just dies. Caps had a heart attack and died. What do you want from me? The answer is, I want a cow back from you because you borrowed my cow. You were a shoel. I asked nothing from you. I just want my cow back. So then you're chayav if you're a shoel. I'm chayav as the borrower. If I was a renter, however, and I was paying you, so what do you? The deal is, it's a quid pro quo, as you said, and I'm not on the hook for unforeseeable loss. So if I am negligent or even just don't protect the cow fully and it gets stolen or lost, I will have to pay. But if a lightning bolt strikes the cow, what do you want from me? I was renting my cow from you. I was renting your cow. So what does that have to do with why should I be responsible for lightning bolts? I didn't do it. Or cows having heart attacks. So the case of the mission will be that the three cases, they're all the same idea. A is part of the day I'm a renter, part of the day I'm a borrower, and in the middle, and then somewhere along the line the cow dropped down dead of a heart attack. Not misad machas malacha. Not Baal of Imo, none of that business. Just a regular case, the cow just had a heart attack on his lunch break. So, we'll now discuss, and the discussion is going to be that as the custodian, is going to claim, oh, it happened while I was in the status of being a renter. Or maybe it happened in the status of being a renter. And you're going to say, no, it happened during you were a borrower, or maybe it happened when you were a borrower. So that'll be the setup. There's three cases. The first case is part of the day renter, part of the day borrower. The second case is one day renter, one day borrower. And the third case is two cows. One was rented, one was borrowed. Okay? And now the Mishnah will then now attack all four possibilities where you're the bari and I'm the shema, when I'm the bari and you're the shema, when we're both bari and we're both shema. About the cow having died as a rental or as a borrowed item. Okay, so that's the case. And the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says inside. Okay, so case number one. Case number one is where the Balabayas, I think that was you in our example here, it's counterintuitive to me for some reason. I'm reverting back to how I always do it. The Balabayas is me. I own the cow and I rent it to you. Okay? And I loan and rent it, whatever you want to. Okay, fine. I give it to your watch. I'm in the first case. I'm claiming I'm certain that the cow died while you were a shoel, and you're saying maybe not. So I'm the bari, you're the shema, bari shema case. So Mishnah says inside, hashoel es hapara, you go and borrow my cow, but it's a sheela chatzi ayom. The deal is that for the first half of the day you're borrowing it, and for the second half uschara chatzi ayom, and for the second half of the day you are renting it. Meaning you're on the hook fully for the first half, even for onsen, and you're only on the hook for Gneva Neveda for the second half of the day. Or quit the other way around, and you can make up any ridiculous story you want why we're in such a silly agreement, but that's what we did. Or, alternatively, Sha'ala Hayom Uschar Lamachar. Or the same conception, the same idea, but the difference is, it's a whole day yours as a She'ela, and you're on the hook for onsen, and then it's a whole day yours as a Schira, as a rental, and you're not on the hook for onsen. Or the third possibility is sachar achas v'shal achas. Gave you two cows, one of which you rented and one of which you borrowed. Okay, fine. Vamesa, and the cow died. It had a heart attack. That's onus. So if I were a shoel, I'd be chayv. Or if you were a shoel, you'd be chayv. If you were a socher, a renter, you'd be putter. Now, vahamashil, that's me, the person who's doing the renting out of the animal, or the giving out the animal, he, Omer, I say, sheula mesa. It died when it was in the category of being a borrowed shaul item, and therefore you're on the hook. He calls it, the shoel is the borrower and the mash'il is the lender. So the lender says, sha'ula mesa, it died in the category of being, literally translation is sha'ula, the one that was, because this first sentence here is going on the third case, where there's two animals, So when I say sha'ula mesa, I'm saying, of the two cows that I gave you, the one that I gave you as a loaner, not as a rental, that's the one that died. Or I say, going back in the second case, b'yom shahaisesh ula mesa, of the 2 days, I'm telling you, it died on the day that it was just loaned to you, but not for money, and therefore you're chayiv. Or b'sha'a shahaisesh ula mesa, or it would happen during the part of the day that I gave it to you as a she'ela, not as a schira, and therefore you're chayiv to me for the whole thing, because you're chayiv for onsen. That's my claim. It's a bari claim. And you, v'hala, the other guy, hala means the other guy, V'halah, Omer, he says, no, ain't yodea, I'm just not sure.
Isn't that interesting? The one that had the cow is the one that doesn't know. And the one that didn't have it, he's the expert.
Exactly. That's very relevant. In this case, it's very relevant. But just first, without any, get the case. The case is, that is the case. That I, the lender, I'm telling you for a fact, I'm certain, you owe me, because it was a shu'ula. And you're saying, I just don't know. Now, as you point out, that's a bit of a... Remember I was setting this up for the introduction? That's a lame one, because I'm open to obvious dispute. Where were you? And you're making this really weak claim. I don't know, just where were you? You were supposed to be using the cow. How can you all of a sudden say you don't know which cow, which day? What do you don't know which day it happened on? What the heck's going on? Yeah.
Can we say that it's lame with a cement mixer that if it dies to normally
use? Yeah, but it's not the case. Not this case. The case is it died in his lunch break. Just had a heart attack. Or a lightning bolt.
No,
that's...
It
died of natural causes.
So I'm saying, is it natural, not because of the work?
Not right. Correct. Right. Now, so... No, that wouldn't matter. It died. It died on his lunch break. That's what I'm saying. It died on lunch break. Maybe that's the very dispute. Was the lunch break included in the... we said the first half of the day of rental, the second half of the borrower, what's the lunch break in the middle? That's our dispute. Who knows? But don't get bogged down by the actual case. But, no, I understand your point. So that'll be up to the basin. But don't mix that in here. Really, we're all agreeing the cow or heart attack of natural causes. We all agree to that. It's just that... or lightning bolt struck it.
But we just... poison or something.
It's so complicated. It died of irregular. No, there's a reason, I don't get to that because maybe he was negligent and not watching it. Yada yada yada. Use my case. He had a heart attack and died. He had a simple heart attack and died. So why I'm resisting it is because the custodian could do nothing about it. I don't want to get into eating poison and walking off cliffs, because then the question is, where was the custodian at the time? Okay, I don't want to get into that. Okay, so now. The din is chayav. He has to pay. Now, this is not consistent with our rule of motzim chaver lav raya, right? If I'm saying you owe me, and you're saying I don't know, so the burden of proof should be on me, and it shouldn't be chayav. So, what's shown in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is saying he is chayav. So there's two approaches in this based on the Marayim. The first approach is the approach of that I spoke of before, which is, the case of a strong bari, a bari tov, and a shema gerua. Remember, I said there's a machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan on the one side, or Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda on the other side. If in such a case where the bari is a strong bari, because you should be able to prove to me that you have some evidence, and your Shema is a pathetic Shema, because what do you mean you don't know what day it happened on? What kind of ridiculous thing to say is that? You borrowed my cow, and you now do not know what day it died on. It's ridiculous. So, you were there. What kind of claim? So, according to those who say if it's a bari tov and a shema grua, then bari v'shema bari adif. There are those who say that. So in that case, in such a case, we don't say motzi mechaver levaraya. We say, I'm certain, you just think you're not certain, doesn't cut it, because you ought to be certain. And I'm leaving myself open for attack. So if we go like that, it's very simple. The mission is very straightforward. The reason why it's, you pay here is because it's a good bari and a weak shema, and the din is bari v'shema bari adif. Now the halacha is not like that. The halacha is like Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman, that even if the bari is a great bari and the shema is a pathetic shema, still a motzi mechaver levaraya. So how are they going to learn this mishnah? Because the mishnah is saying chayiv. So now it gets a little more complicated. Okay, you with me? Not a little more complicated. What they explain the mishnah is there actually were two cows being loaned. The other cow is not material in as much as it's not the subject of dispute. In other words, I loaned you two cows, and one of them died, and I admit I owe you for that cow. It's just...
Well, that's one of the cases.
I'm sorry, I loaned you two... No. But yeah, well, then there are three cows. But the point is, let's just talk about one of the cases. Let's talk about the middle case, where it's one day on, one day off. So I gave you two cows, and one of the cows, who cares about the other cow, but the cow, the relevant cow, the disputed cow, had this weird deal of one day is schira and one day is she'ela, one day is rental, one day it's a bard. The other cow, whatever the din was, it doesn't matter, because I'm claiming you owe me two cows, and you're saying, yes, I agree I owe you for the one cow. That's not mentioned in the Mishnah. But it's the other cow that I'm saying Shema. So once you have that, you got a motive mixus case. Once you have motive mixus, the din is that motive mixus, you have to take a shvua. And mitoch, since you can't take a shvua because you're saying you don't know, you're going to have to pay me. So the reason is high. So that's pretty wow, pretty far out. So either you learn like the pshat in the Mishnah, like the Amoraim who say, listen, bari v'shema bari adif. One guy's certain, one guy isn't certain, and it's a great. Why aren't you certain? That's ridiculous. You were there, so you have to pay me. Then the Mishnah reads easily. If you learn like Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman that it's always a motu mechaver levaraya, you have to come onto a case of motu mixtas in this Mishnah, and the reason why it's chayiv is not because the actual din, but because there's this hidden separate cow, which puts us into an issue of you have to take a shvua midoraisa on that cow, and since you can't take a shvua about what when it died because you claim you don't know, you're forced to pay. Okay, that's case number one. Case number two in the Mishnah is the other way around. Here, I'm still the owner of the cow, and I'm the Baal Bais, and I lend it to you, same in three different possible ways, like before, but my claim is maybe it died. Maybe it died during the She'ela period. And you are the borrower, stroke renter, and you're saying, no, it didn't. It died when I was a renter, and I'm Pater. That's the case here. So it says here, Hasocher Omer, the renter, says, Shtura Mesa, I'm telling you definitively, I'm certain, it died when it was a rental, and therefore I'm Pater to you. Or, B'yom Sh'aitza Shtura Mesa, it died of the 2 days that I took it from you, it died on the day that it was a rental, and therefore I'm Pater. Or, B'shashai, I translated badly, I'm sorry. Schura Mesa, I should have translated as it was the rented one that died. And B'yom Shaisa Schura means it died on the day that it was a rental. And B'shah Shaisa Schura Mesa means it died on the part of the day where it was a rental. And therefore, I'm telling you definitively, I'm Pater. I was there, I know. And V'hala, the other guy, meaning me, the owner of the cow, Omer Eini Yodea, I'm not convinced. Bring me proof. I'm not convinced. Maybe you owe me. Okay, so in that case, the din is Pater. The person who I'm claiming, I'm not convinced, it's Pater. Why? Because if I'm the Shema and you're the Bari, maybe you owe me money, can't push you to make any shvuas. So therefore, according to those who learn, it's a simple case, like that the Bari of a Shema, Bari Adif, it's not okay, I mean, a Shema can't make you swear. According to the ones that there were two cows, even so, a Shema claim in a motu mixtas also can't make a person swear. I say maybe I'm painting a case to show how ridiculous it is. You know, you come and say, here's the $50 I borrowed you. And I say, oh, you sure it wasn't 100? And you say, no, it wasn't 100, definitely not. And I say, are you sure? And I'm saying, because I'm not sure. Well, I can't make you take a shvua because I'm not sure that you owe me 100. That's not going to cut it. So therefore, the din is putter, he's putter for everything. Or in the case, he's either putter for everything, or he'll putter in as much as he'll pay for the one cow, if there are two cows, and the other carries putter on, because he's saying definitively he's putter on it.
again, because of Bori Vishem or Bori Odif. That's a regular case of Bori Vishem or Bori Odif.
Yes, except it's just true, it's not in the... The case that I gave before, the Bar Shem Bar Adif, is not this case.
No.
But indeed it is. It is incorrect. Correct. It's consistent with that. Now, so that's the second case is clear. Now, the third case is that both of us are claiming Bari. I'm saying I know for a fact you owe me money. It was a Sha'ul at the time. It was borrowed. And you're saying I know for a fact it was a rental at the time and I'm not Chayv. So, Ze Omer... One guy says it was a sheula, meaning me, the lender, says, I'm telling you, it was a sheula and you owe me. Vezeh omer schura, and you say, definitely not, I'm telling you, it was the schura, it was the borrowed one that died. The rented one that died. So then, or it was the rental period in which it died, or the rental day in which it died. All those cases, then the din is, this is more complicated, yishava hasocher sheschura mesa. Then, the renter, borrower, will have to take a shvua that it taka died. It's the rented one that died. Now, why is that the din? So, in the previous case before, where we said pater, where I'm telling you, you owe me for my cow, maybe, and you say, no, definitely not, it died when it was a rental, so therefore I can't make you pay, right? But, you still have to take a shvua. What shvua do you have to take? I'm going back to half a step. The previous case, where I'm telling you, you might owe me, and you're saying, I definitely don't owe you. So I can't, we said, that's I'm a shema, you're a bari, I can't make you pay. Right? It's not a motive mixes case, it's not a kol for a kol case, it's nothing. But, don't forget the normal rules of a mafkid. You, I'm claiming you owe me money, and you were the custodian. You have to take the shvua sashomrim. The shvua sashomrim. So although it's true in the previous case, I can't force you to pay, I can force you to swear at least that you weren't poshe with my animal. In other words, I'll speak it back. Speak it out. I'm telling you maybe died when it was a shula and you have to pay me for the fact I had a heart attack. And you're saying, definitely not. I'm telling you for a fact it was the rented item or it was at a rental period. And I definitely don't owe you. No suffix. So he said, fine. I can't make you pay on that. But I could say, listen, you are the custodian. I want you to swear you weren't poshe an animal. For all I know, you did something irresponsible with it. Right, so that you have to swear. I want you to swear that it died in a normal way. It didn't die because you decided to put it on a treadmill and see what would happen or something like that. Right, so you would have to take in the previous case you'd have to take a shvua. The shvua is a shomrim. In this case here, that was the case where I can't make you pay because you're certain that you're pater. And I'm saying maybe you're chayv. Here the case is we're both saying bari v'bari. I'm saying I know. The cow died when it was a shula. And you're saying, I know it didn't die when it was a shula. It was only a schura rental. So what can I do? The truth is, in a vacuum, I wouldn't be able to do anything to you, to force you to do anything. But I could. Step one, I certainly can say, listen, you want to be pater from paying me, you have to take the shvuas hashomrim. That's a deraisa shvuas saying that you weren't poshe in my animal. And once you're taking the shvuas hashomrim, so gilgul shvua, I can also make you swear that it was taka, the schura, and not the sheula. It was, you hear that. So I'll give you a nafkamina. Why? I just want to make the point clear. Let's say, for example, you can bring, same case, bari and bari. I'm telling you, I know for a fact it died on the rental day. On the borrowed day. And you're saying it died on the rental day. Okay? Now let's just say, for argument's sake, there were other witnesses all around. And they saw the cow have a heart attack on his lunch break. So everyone will agree that I wasn't. Everyone watched me the whole day. Everyone knows I wasn't poshe in your cow. Now maybe none of the witnesses know our deal, which day was the shula day, which was the schir day. And they were arguing. I'm saying I'm certain it was Monday. It was the shula day. And you're saying no, Monday was the schir day. Maybe that's our argument. You see? So the witnesses have no idea about that, but they do know for a fact that you the borrower stroke renter of my animal were not poshe in it. They all saw the cow die in a normal way. Since they all saw the cow die in a normal way, I would not be able to make you take a shvua. The shvua is the shomrim. You would not need to swear that the cow, you weren't poshe in it, because you can bring Aiden, you weren't poshe in it. And once you can bring Aiden, you weren't poshe in it, I won't be able to do the Gilgul shvua trick of making you swear on the that it was the shula. I'm just speaking up, that's a nafkamina. Here, that's a bit of lumbus, but
in this case here,
yeah.
Right?
who are arguing which day was the rental, which day was the borrowing?
Let's say. That's one possibility.
Oh, because the Avon come, you said there are Avon that the animal body runs off.
So let's. So the case I'm imagining here, I'm making up a case, is the Edom say it definitely died. Right. The Edom say it was Monday at 2:45. The cow was taking a tea break and just keeled over and cardiac arrest. But the problem was Monday the rental day or Monday the so and the Edom have no idea about that. They weren't there at the time. That's not a, that scenario I gave you is not the case for our Mishnah. I'm just want to illustrate the point. The reason why the din is Yishava Socher Sheshura Mesa, I can force you. I'm telling you for sure it was a shula. You say no, it wasn't. For sure it was a shura. I can. The din is the Mishnah. I can force you to swear that it was at least swear to me that it was the rental and not the rental period of the rental animal and not the borrowed one. But I'm just telling you the reason why that's worked. The mechanics of that behind the scene is because anyways you're taking a shvuah of the shvuah to shomrim. Every custodian has to swear he wasn't negligent. And once you're taking a shvuah to shomrim, then the gilgul shvuah kicks in. I'll say, okay, pile it on. I'll soup the super legal, right, the superimposed shvuah that now also swearing that it was the shchura. But if it's, so I'm just ill, that's a din.
So if there's Adam and he can't take the first shvuah.
Exactly. If the Edom doesn't have to take the first Shua, so then he won't need to take the second Shua. That's not the case of the Mishnah, but that illustrates the point, how the mechanics of how it's working. Good. And the last case of the Mishnah is the Shema V'Shema. In other words, I'm saying maybe it died on the time that it was a rental. I'm the owner, so I'm saying maybe it died in the period that it was a loaner, and you owe me. And you're saying maybe not, and none of us know. You know, you can come up with cases that are less ridiculous than other cases. Like, for example, for argument's sake, we never specified, you know, we said the morning and the afternoon. We never specified what's at the stroke of 12 noon, a thing dropped down dead on a lunch break. So we don't know. Any case you want. The point is, you know, we weren't looking then between 11:59 and 12:01. No one was looking at it dropped down dead. We don't know which side of the noon it fell. Whatever the case is, both of us say, I don't know, and I don't know. So, Ze Omer Eini Yodea. You know, one says, I don't know, but Zemra any Gidea. Another guy says, I don't know either. So then, the Mishnah here goes like Sumchus, like the Mishnah Bava Kama. Yachloko split it 50-50, because what else can do? It's Maman and Mutal Basafik. It's the place of Hashem of Hashem. I don't know, you don't know. And that's how Sumchus Parkins. However, remember, the din is like the Chachamim, which is Hamotza Machaver Lavaraya. If no one knows, then the din is that the owner has swallowed the loss until he can bring proof of when the animal died. Very good. Okay.